go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Now, sluggard, like a slug, is like a snail. Old, slow, barely moving, lazy thing. And he said, go to the ant, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. That verse says that ants go out and they don't have no guide, no overseer. That's a New Testament bishop or pastor, overseer. They don't have a pastor to tell them what to do. They don't have a boss man or a leader. And yet still, they work and provide for the future. Isn't that something? So I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, Answers from the Ants. Now, I got this message many, many years ago because the Lord dealt with my heart about that scripture, as I said. And I remember I looked at that scripture and it said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And I said, well, I ain't never done that. So I figured I'd better go to the ant. And so I went home, went out in my backyard down there in Hoppy Tom, and I thought, well, it said go to the ant and consider her ways. So I started looking for some. And it wasn't but just a minute. Sure enough, there went some across the driveway. And it was just a getting it, man. Their little old legs just a doing like this. And it was going, and it was all in a line like this. And some of them was going this way. It looked like he was in an airplane looking down on the interstate with cars going, you know, around this way. Then they can follow their little roads. And them ants was going up through there, and I followed them, went up through the woods, went around, and went down in behind a tree, and went like down in a hole. And I thought, I wonder what they're doing. And other ones was coming up, and I thought, well, the Bible said, I thought, boy, if my neighbors was to look out here and see me, you know, they already think I was crazy. And here I'm out here going like this, going all over the backyard. Of course, you know, from where my neighbors live, they'd have to have binoculars to see me. But I thought, Lordy mercy, I think I've lost my mind. But the Bible said, go to the ants, thou sluggard. Then I went and got me a encyclopedia. And I thought that'd be pretty easy to find. And I got me an encyclopedia and I looked up ant, A-N-T, correct pronunciation? Ain't. And I looked down at it. I'd drive myself crazy trying to say ant. Ant, like them Yankees do. It'd take me forever to preach this sermon. It's an ain't, A-N-T. And it's like you ain't Sue, and you ain't Jane, and you ain't people like that. And I found out a lot of things. I found out a lot of things about ain't. I found out that ants are very much like people. I found out that ants live together in cities. Ants are social insects. Ants are the only other animal, creature besides man that has organized warfare and soldiers. Here, God puts the ant in front of the sluggard to teach him a lesson. They have engineers, slaveholders, stockkeepers, construction workers, and they get a big job done all without a boss, an overseer, or a ruler. Now we're living in a day when everybody wants a shortcut. Everybody wants great returns with few installments. Not many people are willing to just roll up their sleeves and go at something. And the only way this building is here tonight is that, buddy, I mean, these men sitting in here tonight and me, and of course all of us down through the years, have put our sweat and tears and almost our blood into this thing. And brother, it's because of that you see what you see here tonight. This is a picture of what work has done. I heard about this old guy. He is lazy. He is an old sluggard. And they kept saying, man, you need to go to the doctor. All you do is lay around on the couch. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor kept saying, And he looked at him a little bit more, and he'd say, Look at He said, give it to me straight, doc. I can take it. Tell me the truth. And the doctor said, you're lazy. And the guy said, can't you give me a little more scientific term to tell my wife? He didn't want her to know that's what's wrong with it. But laziness is a sin, and laziness is a curse, and that's what's wrong with a lot of people and a lot of churches. The smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. You know what we got in a lot of churches tonight? We got a lot what I call spiritual hitchhikers. You know what a hitchhiker is, don't you? It's a man or a woman, you know, these days, or a something or another in between there. And you know what some of them are. His own last night down there, it's talking about, you know, used to, some of these people, you can look at the back of them and you couldn't tell what they are. And nowadays, brother, they can turn around and you still can't tell what they are. I've seen them, I seen them in a restaurant or something and didn't know what it was. I'm not lying. You think I'm exaggerating. I didn't know what it was. Well, you might, something like that is out on the side of the road. And they're standing out here. Of course, they ain't even standing nowadays. They're laying over here piled up on a bunch of sleeping bags, sound asleep like this. And they got a little sign up out here that says Knoxville or Charlotte or something like that. And they think you're going to stop and wake them up and load all that stuff in your car and take them to wherever they're going. Now, what a hitchhiker is saying is, hey, good buddy, come here a minute. Have I got a deal for you? I'm going to let you buy that car and pay for it $400 a month, some of it, maybe $10,000, $12,000, $14,000. I'm going to let you put tires on it. Cost you $100 a piece. I'm going to let you put gas in $1.20 a gallon. I'm going to let you pay the insurance. Ain't that nice? I'm going to let you put a tag on it and put an inspection sticker and keep it on. And I'm going to give you the privilege of taking me where I want to go. That's what they're saying. Boy, it makes you want to run over them, don't it? Now, I pick them up every now and then, but that's because I believe the Lord wants me. And sometimes people are in bad shape. They're not all like that. But what they are is they're a hitchhiker. You pay the bills. You pay for everything. They just ride in with you. Boy, I've been to a lot of churches that are filled tonight with spiritual hitchhikers. They don't pay. They don't pray. They don't ever do anything. They say, hey, can I catch a ride into heaven with you people? I want to go with you. I want to enjoy the blessing, but I don't want to do anything. Boy, I'll tell you what, that aggravates the fire out of me when people say, hey, I don't believe in giving. I don't give nothing. I don't support nothing. I don't pray. But I'm just going to come in and sit down and get a blessing. You hitchhiker, you ought to shell out and pay for your part of the seats. Amen? You ought to pay. Listen, if you don't give and be faithful to God, you ought not to get to park on the parking lot, you crook. Amen, brother. Look up here. You're a freeloader, man. You're a cheater. You're a crook. You're like a man that goes in McDonald's and goes in and gets him a Big Mac and fries and everything and walks out and says, oh, there's enough people in here to pay for it. I'll let them do it. That is a lazy, freeloading hitchhiker, and you'll never be what God wants you to be until you get in there and do your part. Amen? Now, some people said, Somebody said that there's always something going on here at our church. That's a compliment. You know that? You know why? Because we're like an anthill. An anthill is one of the busiest places in the world. There's always something going on. I've had people tell me before, they say, preacher, every time I go by there, these cars and lights, and hey, what do you do up there? I said, there's always somebody doing something. That's a compliment. You know what? It's a blessing. I've seen a church one time where there was green grass growing up in the parking lot. That's a disgrace, man. That's a disgrace. When grass grows up in the church parking lot, brother, something is wrong, brother. Something is bad wrong. We can't even keep bushes out here. I mean, they get run over. I've seen churches where the janitor don't have nothing to do. There's nobody there. There's never any tracks on the carpet or nothing. Thank God we don't have to be that way. Now, I want to compare churches to an anthill tonight, and I want to say three or four things about ants. And the first thing I want to say is they each work according to their own ability. Every ant works according to their own ability. Now, they one may not do as much as another, but they all work. You ain't never seen one ant that didn't work. Never. Have you ever seen an ant that didn't work? He's dead. If you've seen an ant that didn't work, that's a dead ant. Every one of them, their little old legs just to getting it. I mean, they're just moving. You know what they do? I watched them in my driveway. They walk over here like this, and their legs just are carrying them like this, and they run over here, and they find a grain of sand. There's one, and it's about like this piano. It's just the equivalent of me and you picking up the piano. Them picking up, you ever seen them? They can carry great big old things, bigger than they are. And it'd be like me grabbing this thing, going, ah! And putting it up like this. All right, then I carry it over here and I follow. There's my buddies going over there to get them a grain. And I take it over here like this. And I go down and I go, ah! And throw it on the anthill. And I'm on my way back over here. That's all they do all day long. They come back over here like this. Get them another big old grain. Ah! carry it up here like this. Carry that piano. I would carry it over here and show you, but I might scratch it or something. And but I tell you, they take it over here. Go up, throw it on a pile. Here they go back over here. Get them another. That's all they do all day long. That's how come you ain't never seen one didn't have skinny legs, brother. I'm telling you, man, they're just like this all day long. They ain't got time to stop and argue. They ain't got time to fuss over doctrine. They ain't got time to get bicker and fall out with each other. They're carrying grains and putting them on the hill. They're putting them on the hill, building the ant hill. They each work according to their own ability. They say that a man would have to carry a diesel locomotive to equal what an ant can carry. My soul, brother. I tell you what, they are busy. They are busy. They are busy. You know what we're doing? You know what these bus workers do? They're bringing in little grains, throwing them on the hill. Have you ever looked at how many grains in an ant hill? You can go up out there in the daytime, and it looks like 10 million grains of sand. And you can take, have you ever been real mean? I have. I hate to say that. That's a mean thing to do. And then sometimes there'll be a million of them. They've got it built up there so pretty. It's just as smooth, shaped, perfect. And I'll take my foot and go, boom. And they start going all around like that. Honest to goodness, you can go out there the next morning and they got that thing fixed back. You know why? Because every one of them works and does their part. Hey, you don't never see ants do this. You don't never see a great big colony or tribe or whatever they are. However, what you call ants. You don't never see a big gang of them, about a couple of thousand of them, with two or three of them going out here and putting up a big old sign that says, Trinity Baptist Ant Hill. All grains welcome. And then just sit back and take their books open, put sunglasses on and start waiting on the grains to come and jump on the hill. It don't work like that. They go get them. They bring them in. They throw them. The Lord said, go out in highways and hedges and what? Compel them to come in that my hill may look pretty. Amen? That my house may be full, but really we're building an ant hill here tonight. So you get the comparison. I'll tell you something else, brother. I want to tell you something else. Somebody said, count your obligations. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. There's plenty of work to do. Each work according to their own ability. They each work. Everybody in here can do something to build this ant hill. Everybody in here. I may not can do what you can do. You may not can do what I can do. Listen, there's teenagers in here tonight. You go into that high school, you can reach people for God that I can never even get to talk to. I go off to Michigan and Florida and California and everywhere else. I can reach people for God that you can never talk to. We got to all work according to our own ability. Do what you can do. If you can't do what somebody else can do, do what God has allowed you to do. I'll tell you something else you don't see. You'll never see it. You come back and tell me and I'll get up and say I was wrong. You tell me if you go out in the woods this spring and summer at your house, if you'll see, let's say, 500 ants. And you got two ants, or let's say four ants, and they're down here just running their legs off, getting grains. You're taking them over here, throwing them on the pile. How you doing, brother? God bless you. Can I take another? Throw it on the pile. Four of them doing that. And 496 of them are over here on the hillside, laid back like this, you know, in their lawn chairs, and with sunglasses on, reading the paper. And every once in a while, I look at him and say, I don't agree with the way he carries his sand. And then every now and then say, did you see what he done? He tripped and fell. If I couldn't do no better than that. I don't agree with the way he gets them off of out of the driveway over here. You know what? That's the way most churches are. Most churches, you got four or five people that do the work and everybody else sitting back critiquing them and judging them on how they're doing their work. Amen. Say amen right there, people. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? Tonight, I'm going to act like I'm at another church. And I don't know none of you, okay?
I'm going to act like I don't even know you people. I'm just going to let her fall, brother, and let her. And so if it hits you personally, do not get mad at me. I've not got you in the back of my mind. I'm just dropping the bomb. And if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. Wear it. Put it on. And I tell you what people need to do. They need to realize that, hey, there's a job for me to do. As soon as God made man, he gave him a job to do. God ain't got a possum. He ain't got a tree for him to climb. God ain't got a rabbit. He ain't got a hole for that rabbit to go in. And God don't have a Christian that he don't want busy doing something for him. Amen. That's right. Pile them up. Pile them up. Pile them up. I told you before, I was down there in Florence, South Carolina, preaching many years ago. I got down there. They had a little bitty church building. It wasn't as big. It wasn't as big as our choir. No kidding, the whole church. Maybe half of it. Maybe as big as this, half of this platform here. I went in there that morning. They was running 60 in Sunday school. They prayed. They worked. They prayed. They worked. Everybody got involved. Everybody started calling their friends. Everybody started saying, hey, go to church with me Sunday. Hey, will you come to church Sunday? Boy, we got in there that Sunday morning. There were 150 people. Man, I was amazed. I was shocked. I said, glory to God. I remember riding down there that Sunday morning. I was in a hurry trying to get down there to preach that morning, start that revival. Been years ago. And I got there that morning just in time for church. I walked in. That place was packed. I mean, they was sinners. They was truck drivers. They was teenagers. That place was filled. But they piled them on, son. They piled them on. And you know what? That night we went back and the preacher said, boy, I really appreciate everybody who worked hard and brought visitors. And he said, now I've got some a little awards here for the people that brought the most visitors. And he pulled out his New Testament, and he pulled out a Strong's Concordance, some like that. He said, now we've got a young girl here. There was a girl there that night. And he said, honey, would you come up here? She's 14 years old. She stood up there, something like that, or maybe 15 or 16. And she brought 14 visitors. That's the way it was. She's about 15, but brought 14 visitors. 14 visitors in the service that morning. I was sitting over there getting under conviction. I thought, Lordy mercy, that kid brought 14 visitors? My soul, man, I need to straighten up, get some grains, throw them on the pile. And did you know what? He said, now, Sister so-and-so, or somebody, you come up here. Somebody else come up here. They had like 21, something like that, visitor. I was sinking lower and lower. I said, oh, my soul. And then finally he said, now, who brought the most visitors? He said, Brother Troy, would you come up here, please? Now, Brother Troy was the man that I was staying with. Old man, old lady. He was way up in years, about, I don't know how old he was, way on up there. Brother Troy had been an alcoholic and got saved. He had ruined his health with cigarettes and alcohol and all kind of things like that. And he had one lung. One lung was already gone. He could barely, emphysema. And that old man, he walked with a cane. And here he come up the aisle like this. And he stood down there and the preacher said, Brother Troy brought 40 visitors to church this morning. I went, oh man. I thought, 40 visitors? I got interested in Brother Troy. I said, man, I want to know what makes that fella tick. And I thought, I'd give him an award just for getting there his own self. I mean, I thought he's doing good just get himself there, man. Let alone bring 40 people. I said, I went down that night. They had a little old trailer out in the church. Troy and his wife, Louise, I believe is her name. I stayed in their extra bedroom. And I said, Troy, how in the world did you get all them people to come to church? We brought up. He said he'd been on the phone. He got on the phone all week long. He called his boss. He called people he used to work with. He said, now listen, that's what he told. He said, you going to come to church Sunday, ain't you? And I said, they'd say, well, I might come. He said, now we're going to have a big thing. And we're going to have this preacher from North Carolina. And I want you to come now. And he'd call him back the next day. You going to come Sunday, ain't you? And he'd call him back on Thursday. Now I'm looking for you. They said Saturday morning, he stayed on the phone all day long. All he could do is just sit there and dial on that phone. Now you going to be there, ain't you? He had cousins. He had in-laws, outlaws. He had all his friends. He had everybody there. I mean, Brother Troy, I mean, he piled on the grains, brother. That old boy worked, and he worked. And God honored it, and God blessed it. And listen, some of the greatest, most exciting times you'll ever have in your life is when we plan a big day like an anniversary coming up in March or something like that, and you just try to get all the family and all the relatives here. That's a blessing, brother, when you see everybody working. That'll make a preacher preach himself to death. You know that? I mean, you see lost people coming in. You see new people coming in. It'll put new vigor and new excitement in the choir, in the preaching, in everything when people get the job done like that. Well, old Troy, I started talking to him. I said, Troy, how long have you been saved? He said, well, Brother Danny, I've been saved
few years now, and he said, I've tried to quit everything I know wrong. And he's had a cigarette in his hand. He said, all I do is wrong smoke here. He said, I still smoke, and I'm trying to quit. I was sitting there thinking, Lordy mercy, son. I don't care if you smoke like a freight train, if you can bring 40 people to church. And I don't think nobody will smoke, saved or lost. Bad for you. And it costs you a lot of money. But I met some of these people saying, oh, I'd never touch one of those filthy things. But they ain't never thrown a grain on the anthill, not one time. Amen? Get them, brother! Work! Everybody works according to their own ability. Amen? Now, everybody here can do something good. You can do something good. We got camp work. We got bus work. We got Sunday school work. We got visitation work. We've got all kinds of good work. Get on fire. Work on the anthill. It'll make you forget your problems, and God will bless you for it. If you can't think of nothing to do, man, I'll preach enough to where you can think of something you can do. Like that little old boy, it happened not too far from here, right down the street here. They had him in Sunday school one morning. The teacher said, all right, now, boys and girls, who can tell me, she taught on doing good things. She said, who can tell me something good to do? And one of them said, I know, little boy named Josh. She said, what is it, Josh? He said, help mommy take out the trash. Oh, that's a good boy, good boy, good boy. Help mommy take out the trash. Isn't that good, class? Now, anybody else? Anybody else tell me something good to do? Same little old boy raised his hand. I know. She said, what else do you know, Josh? He said, help daddy clean up the yard. Oh, that's a good boy. Good boy, Josh. I'm proud of you. Now, does anybody else know something good that you can do? Same little boy. Raise his hand. I know. She said, what else do you know, Josh? That's good. He said, don't eat boogers. She went, Oh, that's good. I mean, that's a good boy, Josh. Very good. You know, I mean, they've been fussing at him, telling him to, you know, not pick his nose and stuff like that. And he thought, boy, that's a good thing, man. That's a great thing to do. Listen, if you can't think of nothing else to do, I mean, if you ain't under conviction over nothing else, come down here and give up eating boogers, man. I mean, give up something for God. Do something. Come to the altar and pray about something. Just ask God to help you. Hey, the Baptist theme song is not, I shall not be moved. One preacher said he preached revival all week long. At the end of the revival, they sung, I shall not. He got up and said, amen, that's the truth. He said, you ain't been to the altar, you ain't prayed, nobody's moved. That'll be your theme song in glory one of these days. Listen, move, brother, move. Times are running out. Jesus is coming. Get on fire. Let bygones be bygones, or whatever that old saying is. Put the past behind you. Get busy for God. Get in there like never before. Preachers, get in there like a wild man. Do something for God. Preach, pray, witness. There, get busy for God according to your own ability. You know what we used to do? We used to get the phone book down and go through there. We was having something special. Go through the A's. Call everybody in the phone book. Go through the B's. You say, I don't have a card. You got a phone, ain't you? You know, too bad. And get in there and do something for God. Secondly, all ants, they work harmoniously. You ever noticed them? They work together. You ain't going to get nothing done but people won't work together. You know why that camp's out there tonight? Because we all decided it's God's will and felt like it's God's will, we went at it together. You know why God can't get a lot done here in the mountains of North Carolina? Everybody disagrees with everybody on one little old thing says, well, I ain't fooling with you. I'll go here. Now, what kind of ant hills would there be out here in the summertime if one of them ants said, that guy, I just don't agree with where he's getting his grains. He got them grains in with a hot dog. Run them off with a cheeseburger. You know? Hey, you don't get nobody to God with a hot dog.
Right.
They might come to church for a hot dog, but the Holy Ghost gets them to God.
Right.
It's amazing how stupid some preachers are. You know what? Their mind, they just don't think, man. They just don't think. The Holy Ghost gets people to God. Nobody can come to God without the Holy Ghost drawing them.
Right.
All the hot dog does is fill their belly. That's what they do on the mission field. Somebody's laying there dying, you minister to their wounds and then tell them about Jesus. That's common sense. He says, I don't like the way they're doing that. I tell you what, I'm not going to put my grains over there no more. I'm going to take my grains over here and have them in my living room. You can just come on over Friday night. We'll put all our grains together in my living room. That's how come there's so many churches. You know why there ain't hardly no Catholic churches in North Carolina? They can't find nowhere to build one. There's a Baptist church down every driveway in town, brother. I'm telling you, brother, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They split, and the splinters split, and there's sawdust, man. There ain't nothing left of them. And every road you go down, this little church, that little church, that little church, that little church. And I heard about this one fellow. He went to one church. He didn't like something preacher said, and he quit. He went to another church, didn't like something preacher said, and he quit. Went to another church, didn't like something preacher said, and he quit. I saw his pastor, one of his former pastors. I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? He said, oh, he's meeting in his basement, just him and his wife. Him and her had a split, I think, after that. But you, listen, aints work together. They work together. They don't agree on everything, but they work. They said, if we're going to build a hill over there, listen, if I've got my tennis shoes on, I've got my overalls on, and I've got my t-shirt on, and listen, I had my toboggan on out there at the camp. Brother Glenn had on a toboggan. Buddy, he looks good in a toboggan. You ought to see him. Where's Raylan? Brother Raylan is out there. And I don't know. What if I'd have said, well, I just don't agree with that toboggan you've got on. I'm offended. It ain't none of my business what kind of toboggan they were. We're out there to build a building, buddy. We're out there to build a building. You know what messes people up? You get your eyes off the building. He don't get your eyes looking at each other. Well, did you see what she... You know what you need to do? Get your eyes off each other and get them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ain't going to find no fault in Him. Get them on the Lord. Get them on the Lord. Buddy, a lot of times... You know what keeps me going? When people say bad things about me, or I found out somebody I thought was my friend talks about me like a dog or something like that, I set myself down and I say, now listen, Danny, you're doing this for Jesus. You're not doing it for them. Keep throwing building the hill. Building the hill. Building the hill. Don't quit. Don't quit. Build a hill. Get the job done for God. You know what else they do? They say the links make the chain. The bricks make the wall. The cents make the dollar. Shingles make the roof. And it means everybody in their place doing their job makes a great church. Tell you something else ants do. They keep their nest extremely neat and clean. They ain't no trash. Have you ever looked at an ant hill? Wind can be blowing, they junk everywhere, and that ant hill just is pretty and clean. And if there's a little bit of a leaf falls in it, two or three of them will grab it and drag it off down through here. It's amazing how clean them little buggers are. They'll say, we don't want this on our hill. Get it out of here. Boy, I wish we felt that way about our church tonight. We don't want no junk in our church. Get the junk out. Listen, that's why you ought to be careful how you live. That's why you ought to be careful what you do, the words you use, the pastime you have, the way you dress, the way you appear in public. All of that is a reflection on this church. I went to visit one night. This fellow sitting here, he had a beer, or somebody was, another couple was visiting, had a beer sitting here. And he said, I go down here at so-and-so, church down in Nebo. And they said, Brother Danny, what kind of a church is that? I said, that's a good church, good pastor. They said, well, the members drink beer. And I said, now, wait a minute now. Just because one guy said drunk a beer and said he went, you can't judge the whole church by what, but that's the way people do. Ain't that the way people do? Listen, if people know you come to this church, and they know you're living in sin, they judge every one of us by what you do. You heard let me tell you the latest gossip I heard this week. And I'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute. I heard the other day, somebody don't even go to our church, told another person that don't even go to our church. They said, them people up there at New Manna is rude. And I said, what? And they said, rude. They said, I was coming up the street out here up East Court Street one Sunday, and one of them pulled out there on the street, and they sat there and let all of their friends get out in front of me. And they judged our whole church as being rude because somebody let some people out here in the parking lot. Ain't that something, brother? Ain't that something? They don't even know us, a lot of us. And they said, the people that go to that church are rude. So that means if you're in workplace or anything and you say, I go to New Mountain, they're going to say, you're rude. Because you pulled out and blocked high. Now I know, man, we drive them crazy out here on Sunday. I know that. There's traffic backed up all the way. I think they ought to make it a 3-lane out here. Amen? Mm-mm. Put the 3-lane on the other side of the street and don't take up ours. That's right. That's what they ought to do. But I want to tell you something, brother. You can't judge a whole church. But listen, if that person happened to let the church members out, the church members thought, well, he's rude. He could have let me out, and he didn't. But that's the way people are. You can't look at everybody else, see what they do or what they don't do. They work together and work harmoniously. Let me tell you something else they do. They keep theirself clean. You know how an ant keeps itself clean? You ever seen an ant with muddy feet? Oh, really? Have you ever seen one dirty? You won't. You know what the encyclopedia said? I read this in the encyclopedia. I couldn't believe it. When I read it, I about shouted. It said they lick themselves with their tiny tongues. Ain't that wild? That's what the encyclopedia says, man. Can you imagine an ant out here working all day long, putting grains of sand on the hill, coming in all that, and then coming in, he's got dust all over him where cars been coming up in the driveway and everything, and he gets in the ant hill, and before he's done, he goes, hum, 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 and licks himself all over and gives himself a bath. You know what Christians do? They spend their time licking each other. You need to keep your tongue off everybody else and keep yourself straight now. Boy, I think some of these people think their ministry from God is to tell what's wrong with everybody else. And everybody, hey man, they can tell you things about me. Somebody else. I know some people's got a tongue long enough now. I heard about that. That's right, brother. They got a tongue. I mean, man, I know some women's got a tongue long enough. They can make a speed breaker out here across the road. There's no telling what they could do. And men, too. Amen? One fella said they come into his church one morning. His robbers had guns, and they made everybody give their watches and rings and jewelry necklaces and everything. He said, but they didn't get my wife, buddy. He said, my wife was smart. We got all her jewelry and rings and everything, and she put them in her mouth. And that fella said, Lord, have mercy, if I'd have had my mother-in-law there, we could have saved the whole thing. That's right. One lady come to you heard that blandy priest on gossip, 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 gossip. He said, you ought to lay your tongue on the altar. This woman come up and she said, preacher, I'm under conviction. I want to put my tongue on the altar tonight. He said, ma'am, we got 40 feet of it here. Just double it over and let it flop on both ends. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if Christians learned to shut up? God called us to shut up. Amen. Said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You say, well, I'm going to tell you what I heard about so-and-so. You better watch that kind of talk. You know what? I mentioned it up there in the preacher's class this evening. And when somebody messes up and goes into sin, I don't condone the sin. God don't either. He hates it. But you better be careful what you say. The Bible will come home to you one of these days. They keep themselves clean with their tiny tongues. Well, I ain't got time to get into all that tonight. There's a lot I preach about gossip every now and then, but it's a blessing, you know, just keep your mouth shut. I give the illustration every now and then of Brother Bob. It's just an imaginary character, Bob. I don't even know if we got any Brother Bobs in here that do what I'm getting ready to say, but Brother Bob's in his church, and he has a singing group. Well, Brother Bob, he has to work overtime for a few days, and he makes him get home from work late, you know, for a few days. And old Brother Bob, you know, he's real wore out and tired, and boy, he's worked overtime trying to buy his family something for Christmas, you know. He's just all wore out, and he comes home, and he's walking home like this, you know, and his hair's kind of messed up, and he comes walking up the street like this two or three evenings, whew, about to die. And he's about an hour later than he normally is. And guess what? Sister Suspicion is sitting on her front porch, rocking in her rocking chair. And she's sitting there like this. She's reading. She's got a whole stack of magazines like True Secret. It ain't true and it sure ain't secret. Everybody in the country knows about it. Real Love, Modern Romance, Detective Stories. You know, some old chubby girl on the front of it with a guy with his knife right here to her throat. Ah! You know. Yeah, she's been filling her mind full of that stuff all day. And she sees Bob walking up the street and she goes, Oh, boy. I knew it. So she goes into the house, Sister Suspicion does. And she gets on the telephone. She calls up Sister Exaggerator. She says, now, Sister, I don't mean to be gossiping. She says, listen, this is Sister So-and-so. Now, listen, I don't mean to gossip, but blah, 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 blah. When somebody says, I don't mean to be gossiping, you know what they're getting ready to do, don't you? They're getting ready to lay it on thick and heavy, brother. Now, I don't mean to be, I don't really mean to be saying nothing bad about nobody. And I'm not saying anything's going on. God forbid. But I just have a heavy burden for Bob. You know, he's been coming home late. Every evening and night. Now, I'm not saying he's running away for nothing. Oh, I would not say that for nothing in this world. But I think we ought to pray for him. Oh, poor Mary. His sweet wife. He may be doing what I saw on As the Stomach Turns today. Yeah, me too. I just think we need to pray. But now don't you dare tell this to a soul. Just pray. That's the way it goes. By the time Sister Exaggerator gets through with it, Bob's having an affair. And everybody in church done got him pegged as a wicked, unfaithful adulterer. Sunday morning comes. Preacher gets up. And he says, he's been praying all weekend, trying to get the message, trying to get something from God. He says, and now, Brother Bob and the quartet, would you please come and sing? Every woman in the church, head just dropped like this. How could he call on them to sing? Hypocrite Bob. Looks like the pastor would have more discernment than that. Preacher looks and the service tightens up and there ain't no blessing, ain't no power, and ain't no joy. And everybody just looks at Bob like they could kill him. And it's all because of somebody's been a yak, 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 yak. You know how come a lot of people can go to another church and get a blessing but can't get nothing to jump? It's because you've listened to all the trash and all the gossip and all the talk. You need to just shut up and let that stuff run off your back and say, listen, I've got enough problems keeping myself straight. I ain't got time to listen to no junk on somebody else. That's how ants get an ant hill built. Number three, right quickly, and I'll hurry. Ants persevere in the face of danger. Now, what does that mean? That means they keep going and keep going and keep going. Did you know their vision is poor? An ant can't see very far. Of course, they don't need to. They're so short. I mean, if you're way down there where they are, you don't need to see over that far. But they have poor vision. I mean, they couldn't see over a rock, man. They'd have to walk around it and see what's on the other side. So ants, they're looking like it, but you know what they got? They got little radar antennas. They stick out and go, and they can tell when an intruder's coming in just like that. If a bumblebee comes in, he says, I'm an ant. They go, get out of here, get him, get him. Son, they'll carry that booger out of there. They will. It's unbelievable. They recognize a member of their own colony and instantly detect an intruder. You know, I'm glad tonight that even though we can't see very far, that we have a built-in radar system. And the Holy Ghost is in us, and the Holy Ghost bears witness to what's true. You hear a crook come on TV, here comes Garner Ted Armstrong on television, and something inside you goes, He don't know what he's talking about. He's a maniac. Turn it off. He's a false prophet. You know why? Because God built inside us a little radar detection system. You know what they do? They keep going in the face of danger. Have you ever had any dealings with a fire ant? Son, I'm telling you what, brother, if that ain't the meanest, toughest little critter that you have ever got a hold of. How many of you have ever tried to kill a fire ant? Raise your hand. Have you ever? Now, you don't see too many of them around here. If you go down to Florida and places like that, they're long and they're red. And you know why they call them fire ants? Well, you ain't never been bit by one then. I tell you, brother, they'll bring blood, man. I mean, them things are mean. We had some out in the yard one day, and I went out there, and somebody said, that's a fire ant. They're real fat and long and red. And I went, boom, got him. And he's just still crawling around. And I mean, it went over there, and I went, boom, got it. And he still was crawling. I took my foot down and twisted it like that. He was still, and this is honest, you might not believe this. I cut that thing in two, brother. And half of him was going one way, and half was going the other way. He's going, up like that. That's a mean little character, brother. That guy's tough. God have mercy on us as Christians. One little old thing happens to us, we're ready to quit. Boy, I'll tell you what, has the devil ever got you down sometimes, just went, boom, you just keep getting it. Has he ever twisted on you? Just keep it. Just persevere in the face of danger. Don't give up. Don't quit. You know what they do in the wintertime? They have seen, I've never seen this, maybe somebody in here could verify it. I read that ants have actually balled up. They ball up in a ball in the wintertime to keep from freezing to death. Where they're all at right now, I have no idea. They'll be back here in a couple of months or three. You wait and see. And they just ball up. Boy, what a lesson for us Christians. If ants said, well, I don't like you. I don't like you. Well, I ain't going to ball up with you. You know what would happen to them? They freeze to death. The weather kills them. Sometimes the only hope you've got, brothers and Christians, is just to ball up in a big group and just stick together. Listen, if we all, let's say we all had to go out there in the street and sleep tonight. I don't care how bad of feelings you got toward me. I'm going to scrooge up to you. I'm serious, man. I don't want to be a fool out there. I know some people say, I ain't going to stand over there next to someone. You're a nut, son. I'm going to ball up with it. I ain't going to freeze to death. Amen. You need to stick. Here's the way we do it. You remember when we was little growing up at school, we used to play Red Rover. They don't guess kids do that no more, do they? How many ever played Red Rover? You know, send Rover over or something like that. We used to all stand in a big line like this, and then the other side would stand in a big line like that. We'd say, Red Rover, send Johnny right over. Son, here come Johnny. He'd put his head down. He'd run just as hard as he could, and he'd head right for the weakest little old measles looking kid in the class. Little girl here with her hands about that wide. She'd be holding hands. And you know, if Johnny broke through the chain, he could take somebody back and put them on his side. And whoever wound up with the most, you know, everybody on their side was the winner. We used to play it out at recess. And buddy, I tell you what, it got to the place where Red Rover, send so-and-so. Buddy, everybody would grab hands, hold on just like that. Listen, we might have been in an argument 2 hours before that. But when old Red Rover started coming, we held on just as tight as we could hold on. Now, I want to tell you what, brother. Listen, there's been some of us in here, we've had our disagreements, amen? We've had our arguments, amen? I mean, so what? But I'm telling you what, Rover's coming, brother. The devil's up there seeking whom he may devour. We better grab on just as tight as we can grab on and say, hey, Rover's coming. Hang on for dear life. Amen. You know what? Every time old Red Rover breaks through, he'll take somebody back with him. There used to be people sitting right here and right here and right there and right there. And old Rover's done busted through somewhere. And you know where he comes? To the weakest link. He'll come between two women that don't like each other. And Rover will get in and get one of them. I don't care if you like each other or not. You surely can't take up sides with the devil. Hang on to each other. Amen. Hang on to each other. You know what? I heard that these bent ants ball up in a ball and roll across a creek or a river. Now, I couldn't verify that, but honest to my soul, that's what the encyclopedia said or a book I read. That takes a cake, man. How do they know? They couldn't have a little pea brain big enough to do that. How do they know how to do that? Ball up and roll across a creek? And sure, and you know what we do? I don't like you no more. I'll just swim by myself. And big fish come by and get you. That's what'll happen to you. You remember the banana, don't you? When the banana left the bunch, it got skinned. That's what'll happen to you. The devil will skin your hide. Last thing, and I'm through, they provide for the future. They store up food in the summertime, so when wintertime comes, they'll have something to eat. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Put out some visits, put out some prayers, put out some tracts. One day when the terrible time comes of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, harvest time, we'll have something laid up ahead of us. Ants store for the future. While the weather's warm, them ants say, all right, we better get with it now. And buddy, they store it up. Then when the bad weather comes and ain't nothing to eat out there, they stay in there and feast off what they stored up back in warm weather. Too many Christians tonight, all they're living for is right now. We better be thinking about out yonder somewhere. There's something more important than your house and your clothes and your car and your job and your boyfriend, your mama and your daddy. There's a future out there that you're going to have to answer one day. They provide for the future. They're some ants that we could learn some lessons from, brother. It's too bad a little bitty dumb ant with no pastor, overseer, ruler does a better job than we as Christians with our brain and our Bible and our overseer and all that we've got. Let's make up our mind. We're going to say, hey, I'm going to throw some grains on the hill, keep it clean, keep myself clean until God comes and takes us home. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.